Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Gist of Freedom Show. I'm your host tonight, Leslie Gist, and we have on the line tonight Miss Rosetta Quisenberry. Mrs. Quisenberry is going to talk about one of her great books, which allows us to respect ourselves. It's about our Black history. And are you on the line, Miss Rosetta
Quisenberry?
Great.
Yes, ma'am.
Miss Rosetta, please introduce yourself to the audience.
Hello, world. This is Rosetta Lucas Quisenberry from Lexington, Kentucky. I wrote four books, A Saga, The Black Man, The Black Woman, The Black Child, and The Black Family, and I'm here to discuss all of them or one of them.
Now, I want to let the audience know that they need not turn off this show because this show is very important. Explain to them right up front how important these books are and what you went through to finance the books.
Well, first thing I can tell you is that I financed the books through my home. I mortgaged my home twice, put a line of credit on the home, and in order to pay for the books, to get the books printed. The first time I mortgaged the house at $20,000, and then the second time I did it at $30,000. And that doesn't even include the interest to pay off the books. And the books have been paid for by the grace of God.
Wonderful. Now, what is the content in these books that would make you go to those extremes to share this information with people? Let us hear exactly what these books are about.
First of all, these books have negative and positive images in the books. Each book is split into negative and positive images. The first half of the book is very negative. The second half of the book is very positive. It's like a comparison and contrast. I used to teach school, so I used to do a lot of comparison and contrast. And I thought that that would be one of the very best things that you could do with the book. You could look at the first half, which is very negative, and contrast it with the very positive images and see what the distortions were. You got to know how good something is to know how bad it is.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Now, from a personal experience, my mom told me when she was in school in West Virginia, they used textbooks with terrible images of Black folks in it, which really brought her to tears. Did you experience something similar to that as a school, a childhood student?
Yes, ma'am. We used to have the little books called Little Black Sambo books. We've had all kinds of negative images. But the most shocking thing that when I was 24 years old, when I first saw these images on postcards, I was just floored because I thought I was getting a good education. And what I found out is nobody was teaching me about myself, me about me, who I was. And I was getting the best of education, but they weren't talking about me. It wasn't any indication of, to who I was. And
now,
when
could
I
you
first
back
saw
up
them,
and could you back up and explain what were the images that were included in your textbooks as a child?
As a child, you saw the little black Sambo, and I've since collected a few little black Sambo books that had the stereotypes of the real dark, black skin, red lips, big eyes, the kinky hair. There's all kinds of images. And
what was their excuse for including this? What were you supposed to learn by reading this Sambo book?
In some instances, you were learning how to count. Because with the little black Sambo books, you were learning to count the tigers, how many tigers there was, and you could learn the colors, and there was a lot of reasons behind it, but it was always negative.
Now, were you in an integrated school or segregated?
I was in a segregated school. I grew up in segregated schools until I was about in the 10th grade.
Okay, so you didn't sit next to any white children. But my mom says she sat with white students, and it would just make her melt and go to the floor when, you know, those images would come up in a textbook. Now you said you had something to counter that image in your book. Which image do you think best counters the image of the Sambo in the book that you've written?
Well, if you go just to the black man's book, you see all kinds of positive images. You see a pharmacist from Lexington, Kentucky. You see the black psychologist. You see professors and teachers and educators, and you see Dr. Booker, T. Washington. You see all kinds of very positive images that counters all the negative images in the front of each book.
Now, why do you think you're having a hard time getting a publishing company to publish your book, and have you tried?
Ma'am, I tried at least 28 to 30 publishing companies, and everybody would tell me, several of them would tell me, oh, you've got excellent material here. This is great material. This is what they call it. They say this is museum quality material here. They would tell you how good your material was, but nobody was willing to back it up with money. And if you don't put your money on it, you've got nothing there. You've got nothing but vain words. And I realized when I turned 50 years old, I had to either walk it or talk it, and I chose to walk it rather than talk it.
Well, you're definitely a walker, because you have a very exciting story about how you took a trip up to New York. Could you tell the audience about that trip to New York?
Well, the trip to New York City was where BET had agreed to do a short video of my book and me and telling about the story. But they said the one thing that they could not do is pay for my way up there. They said, we can't provide you with transportation up there, because we generally catch people as they're coming through New York City, and then we get them to come in and be on a video, or we host them on a program. And I told the man, I said, sir, you don't have to worry about me being paid to come up there. I will do that myself. I will be in New York City. I will come to New York City just for the privilege of being on your program. and having a short done being on a BET video, and that's what they
How did this conversation originate?
Well, I was talking to one of the newscast people, and he said, and you know, after you talk to this one, and then they have you talk to that
Wait,
one.
Wait, did you meet the newscast person? How did you bump into this newscast person?
Well, a chance meeting on the telephone, because I finally got to somebody who would listen to what I had to say. And he was the one who told me, we can't pay for you to come. You have to do that on your own, whatever. That did not deter me in the least. I said, sir, if you will do the video or do the interview, I will definitely be there. And that's
wow.
what we did. We caught the Greyhound bus, and we rode up there. It was just right before a storm in February, and we caught the bus, and we hiked on up there. It took us about 20 hours to get there, but it took us about 30 hours to get back home because we got caught in the snowstorm, and we were delayed up in Pennsylvania, and we were also delayed
wow.
in Cincinnati, Ohio. So
we only had 3 minutes left. So I want you to get out your information about where they could reach and contact you to purchase these books.
If they will, first of all, if they know how to spell my name, they can look me up on the internet. If you will look at Rosetta Lucas Quisenberry, you can look, and I'll spell it for you. If you've got a pen or pencil, just jot my name down. You have to spell the name, and then once you do that, you can look up, Google me up, you can Yahoo me up, you can go to BET.com and type in Quisenberry, but you got to spell that right. Okay, here's my name. Rosetta, R-O-S-E-T-T-A, Rosetta Lucas, L-U-C-A-S, Quisenberry, that's the tricky part, Q-U-I-S-E-N-B-E-R-R-Y, Q-U-I-S-E-N-B-E-R-R-Y, Quisenberry, B-E-R-R-Y. If you will Google me up, go to google.com, type in Rosetta Lucas Quisenberry, all the information in the world come up. If you go to yahoo.com, type in Rosetta Lucas Quisenberry. If you go to BET.com, type in Quisenberry.
Okay, now I'm looking at your images.
Yes, ma'am.
You said you've been told several times they're museum quality, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. Where
yes,
did
ma'am.
You get these images from? Just give our audience.
I collected them from, I went from, as the people say, from sea to shining sea. I went from Massachusetts all the way over to San Francisco in travel, and this is by car. I went from up here in Michigan all the way to Florida. So I've gone from coast to coast to find and collect.
To libraries? What you get them from, libraries, estate sales?
You have to get them from estate sales, yard sales, private dealers, private collectors, just very through collection houses. When I say collection houses, like little stores or shops, antique shops, and the sales all kinds of collectibles and those kinds of places.
Now, tell our audience, what are the demographics of people who collect art images? Do they look like you and I? You know, who's out there collecting these images?
One of the largest collections that I knew of was a man named Ken Ogden in Florida, collected and had a sale in August of last year, August the 24th and 25th of last year, and he collected 42,000 of these images and made a very, very handsome profit when he auctioned them off. No, they don't
have
to look like
that. Was he African-American?
He was definitely not African-American. This was a Caucasian.
Well, that's the point I'm trying to drive home.
Well, many people who collect these images are Caucasians. You don't have to put it into the parameters of white, black. People from all around the world collect these images. And
I'm looking at our history as being on an auction block once again. Because, and some people don't want to collect our images, you know, from our communities. And could you stress the importance of African Americans going to these yard sales and estate sales and keeping our things that we have in the attic from our grandmothers, our heirlooms? Could you just stress why we should keep these images?
You should keep them because it's history. It happened. You need to know it. You need to tell others about it. We need to talk about it. We are limited, and I hate to say, to Black History Month, and we are Black for that month. And after that, we don't talk about ourselves. We don't discuss our history and our heritage. Not like we should. If anything happened like this, we need to be talking about ourselves 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year, because we were literally meant to be destroyed as a people. And you're talking about detrimental. I cannot stress to you how often I cried when I looked at these images when I first started collecting them. I just cannot tell you how sad they made me until I realized you can't cry about it, Ms. Quisenberry. You have to actually go out there and discuss it and tell people about it and talk about it and be the history teacher that you know you once were. And that's what you have to do.
Wonderful. Now, we just embraced Black history because of our president being elected, President Obama, Barack Obama. And I think people are now embracing the history because it's something positive. What do you have to say to people who are collecting T-shirts, the newspapers? Now, a lot of people are now collecting it. How do we jump on a bandwagon as people like ourselves that are into Black history and want to preserve it? How do we encourage other people now that we have this momentum?
Well,
because if we don't say the truth in 100 years from now, the story of Barack Obama's presidency would be changed if it's not told from our perspective. How do we tell people to go about preserving his story?
You not only do you need to preserve his story, you need to collect any type of memorabilia that has something positive about Mr. Barack Obama, President Barack Obama. Because even now, the negative stereotypes, he's still being called a monkey. He's still being called Curious George. He's being called very, very negative, and he's just a fine Christian man. One wife that he loves very dearly, that you can see with him and his children, and yet he's being abused in the media by being called a monkey, and his wife has been called a cheetah, Tarzan's chimpanzee. All kinds of things have happened to these people. And we have little enough sense to pick up on it and tell what is happening even today and find out why is this still happening.
Now, I've had a conversation with a few people about finding a magazine that refers to him as the first African-American president. Have you found anything, any covers of magazines that refer to our president as African-American? Most of them say a historical presidency, but they do not spell out African American.
Well, here's one of the most shocking things. The man is both African American and he has some Caucasian background. His mother was white. And yet, they always refer to him as being a Black man.
But not when it comes to... I don't see that when it comes to these magazines and newspapers when he was elected.
Well, when you look at the magazines and newspapers, they're still not telling you the complete truth about negative stereotyping and the images. You know, in one of the newspapers we had here, he was shot down as a monkey and said that there's not going to be any more. This was a big push on one of those, and I can't think of it to save my life right now because I'm trying to remember it, but there was going to be no more some kind of important bills passed because he was shot down by the police, and he was pictured as a dead, deceased animal laying in the street.
I think I remember that.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I think I do. Well, let's leave in this conversation on a high note. If we want to preserve all of our history, and I think history starts at home, starts at the family reunions, and it continues and grows from there.
It
gives us some tips
house.
On how to. Right. Go ahead. Tell us. Give us some tips
starts,
on how to see.
It starts at your house, on your living room table. You ought to have some books. Perhaps my books even, on your coffee table. So when somebody comes in, that becomes a point of focus so you can talk about your history. You can look at those books and say, oh, this was done by this lady, and look at what we've come through. You've got to at least know where you've been to know where you're going.
What about old family photographs? Should those be important? Should we treasure those?
Definitely they should be important. We should treasure anything. Our Bibles, our photographs, our oral, our written history. If somebody has done something important, especially from the Bible standpoint, from your biblical standpoint, most of your parents wrote something down that was important, birth, death, a family record, that should definitely be treasured. Photographs should be treasured. Cookbook should be treasured. If your mother
love
had
letters. Letters,
love letters, recipes, where your parents served in the military, I love stamps. I collect African Black Heritage stamps. You can start with something that's even modern, such as stamps, and go back. I'll come
wonderful.
Up.
Wonderful.
Yes,
wonderful, Ms. Quisenberry. You are a wonderful person. I love your passion, and we're going to try to get you to become a host on the Gist of Freedom. So, you know, we're in a negotiation and talks with you to make that happen. But before you leave, I want you to repeat all your contact information, especially your website, starting with your website.
My website is www.asagaoftheblackman.com. Again, www.asagaoftheblackman.com. You can also look me up by my name as I spelled it out, Rosetta Lucas Quisenberry, and Google me up, Yahoo me up. You can also look at BET.com and put in Quisenberry. And you can reach
email?
Oh, my email, definitely my email. Rosetta, R-O-S-E-T-T-A, quisenb@aol.com. Rosetta, quisenb@aol.com. And can I give out my phone number? You can call me as well as email me. 859 area code 299-7258. 859-299-7258. I can be reached by any of those mediums. And
any closing remarks?
Telephone. Ma'am?
Any parting remarks, Mrs. Quisenberry?
I'm sorry, I just couldn't hear that.
Any closing remarks for our audience?
Any closing remarks? Love yourselves. Talk about yourselves. Do not delegate February as the only time you're discussing you. Please don't. Make sure that this is discussed in your children's school systems. That's the one thing that has not happened. We have not, this history has not been embraced by the school systems here in the state of Kentucky, nor across the United States. You have to take your history and take charge of yourself.
Thank you so much. and enjoy the evening. I look forward to talking to you really soon.
Yes,
good
ma'am.
Night.
And I thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk to America.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Freedom. Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom over me. Before the earth day, I'll be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free. Well, no more mourning, no more mourning, no more mourning over me. Before the earth day, I'll be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free. Well, let me tell you, there's no more wailing.
Whoa.
No more wailing, no more wailing over me. Before I be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free.
There will be no more weeping,
no more weeping, no more weeping over me. Before I be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free.
Let me tell you now, there will be singing.
Oh my.
There will be singing, there will be singing over me. Before I be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord, and go home to my Lord, and go home to my Lord, and go home to my Lord.
And go home
to my Lord and go home.